Someone can bring it. Okay.
Oh, you want to give me a hug?
All righty. That is really, that is wonderful. Appreciate the leading us in worship, Elijah and Jono, leading our service. That is real church. That is like, you know, if I was visiting for the first time, I'd be going, I'm joining up. Like, where's the sign up? Is there like a form I can fill in? Like, how does this thing work? I definitely would be sensing the life of God and really precious. So we're going to do things a little differently this morning. And we're going to continue with, I think, what's already been happening. For those who don't know me, I don't see too many people who are visiting for the first time, but my name's Grant Baker. I'm from South Africa. Some people call me Grant, others Grant. Andrew asked us to come to California just to be part of this incredible journey of this church. And I think we're very aware that some plant, others water, but only God makes her grow. And so he's making sure that this people belong to him. And so, what a privilege to be part of what he's doing across the earth. So I will teach again out of Colossians, but we're going to have Maddie come up, who's my daughter, my younger daughter, and she's going to be sharing what's burning in her heart. And so, Maddie, will you come up?
Hey guys. So my dad asked me just to share briefly on, I'm not actually really sure, like I bet he gave me a bit of a brief, so if I babble a bit, please just give me some grace, you know. It's actually so cool that I'm sharing this now because it's something the Lord's actually reminding me again of. But so when I gave my life to the Lord, like I grew up, obviously my family's Christian, they love Jesus, and I've grown up like in the ways of God. Like I've always had quite a strong moral compass, and I've never actually desired to do like worldly things, but I really wanted to live for the Lord. But yeah, life was hard, like many of us experienced. But and I remember up until I was about 16. So this is not a test. This is not like my whole testimony type of thing. I'm just trying to get to a point and make a point. But up until I was about 16, like I'd been in the church, and I really did love the Lord. Like if you had asked me, like Maddie, do you love the Lord? It's like I would actually feel like affection for God in my heart. Like that's how I felt. And but I really struggled. And there was always like a war in my heart. Like, I think in the back of my mind, I always really didn't think it was real. Like I was always trying to convince myself about what I believed. And it was like this like wrestle in me, like it's not real. Like if it was real, like why is this my like experience of life? And I think when you grow up in the church, it's actually a really dangerous place. Like honestly, I always say it's kind of like being a frog in boiling water, and you don't know you're dead until like it's over. Like you realize actually everything you see around you think is fake, and you see all the cracks in the church. And that was like kind of me. Like I actually had a lot of like, I could see everything that was fake, and it was like, what's the point of this? Like this isn't real. But I had a lot of struggle, and I needed a savior. I was like, hey, well, God is my only way, surely, right? Because, but like yet it wasn't working, so I was kind of like, okay, I don't know what to do. And I one day went, when I was in PE, when I was about 16, I went to a gathering, and I went to the front and I responded, and this lady came up to pray for me, and like I've like been up for prayer like countless times, like thousands of times, and I literally looked at her, I'm not even joking, I said this, I was like, please don't pray for me, like you don't know how many times I've responded, like nothing's gonna happen. And she said, no, let's just pray. And I remember for the first time I actually encountered Jesus, and it was like, guys, I cannot explain to you, it was like I had been living a lie. Like, I literally had been living a lie. It was like, he's alive. Like, he's real. And it made me look back on my life, and I realized everything I believed was for the sake of knowing Jesus. And I realized I had been trying to, like, I'd like wanted to follow the Lord, but I didn't know Jesus was a person. Like, I actually didn't believe he was real. But when I met him, it was like, this literally changes everything. I know this is kind of like a weird way of explaining it, but I literally felt like I discovered magic was real. Like I literally went around like, he's real, like he's alive. And it changed me so much. And I was very depressed at that. Like I was, just to be very honest, I was like quite suicidal and stuff. Like my life is just not worth living. I was like, there was just so much stuff in my heart. I was like, this is not worth it. If it's gonna be my life, like I'd rather just not live, honestly. And meeting Jesus, it was like, oh my goodness, he's real. And I knew that how powerful he was when I met him. It was like, he can change my life. And it was so strange, like growing up in the church, it was just like I look back and I don't think I was saved. I really don't think I was saved. And I would have told everyone, like, I love the Lord. I love him. And like, I go to church, I read my Bible, I want to know him, but I didn't know him. And it was like, it's hard for me to articulate it, but and actually when that happened, I actually received the Holy Spirit at the same time. No one even prayed for me, but I actually received the Holy Spirit, and I could literally feel his life inside of me physically. So, like, I think sometimes Christians, like, we conceptualize things as, but he's real. Like his power is actually present, and it's tangible, and it's not like an idea. And it's so different when you grow up in the church. There's so much room for deception. There's so much room to go, this isn't really real, but he's real. Like, he's alive. And I think, like, even now, it's something recently the Lord's been speaking about to me again, but the Lord constantly has to remind me, Maddie, your relationship with me is your salvation. Not what you do, not what you look like on the outside or what you're doing for me. In Matthew, it says, you know, people will call me Lord, Lord, and they'll do things for me. They'll cast out demons. Like, lots of us, I can't even cast out a demon, but guys who can cast out demons, even Jesus is saying they're in trouble if they don't know me. And actually, that when we get to heaven, what will he say? Depart from me, I did not know you. And I just think that there's, like, it put a healthy fear in my heart, actually. And I hope it does you guys too, that Jesus, relationship, your current relationship with him now and my current relationship with him now is the state of my salvation. Like, it's like, Paul speaks about working our salvation out with fear and trembling. What do I work out? I work out my relationship with the Lord. Do I know how he feels about things? Do I hear him? Do we talk to each other? And he is my salvation and my closeness with him. And it's like, that's what I fight for. And it just changed my perspective incredibly. Like I literally became another person. And this is someone who had grown up in the church. I mean, I was 16. I was still like, I mean, a lot of you guys are 16. And it's like, you can think about things. Like, you're not like a little child. It was like, I've literally been living a lie. That's how I felt. And I've met a lot of Christians, and I say this carefully because I know I've been there. I've met a lot of Christians who are really good Christians, but they don't know Jesus. And you can tell when someone doesn't know Jesus because Jesus is so different to us. And so, like, even, like, I feel the Lord sometimes speak to me, you know, like, Maddie, like, we're not doing good. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, Lord, you're right. We're not doing good. And I bring myself into his prayer. I go, God, I want you to know me. Like, I think some, like, we can know God, and or we cannot know God, but God actually doesn't know us. You know, like, does God know you, though? Like, you might think you know God, but does God know you? Because you might get to the end and be like, God will be like, I didn't know you. And that's, like, a really scary thing to think about. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, does the Lord know me? And, yo, like, I think there's just, there can be a lot of deception, even for myself. Like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. I'm a good person. I love the Lord, but do I know him? Am I walking with him relationally? So this just is really something that's been burning on my heart. Like, that's where our life comes from, is Christ, is relationship with him. And it's just like, when I remember when first meeting him, it was like, I've literally been living a lie. Like, that's how it really felt. And it put like a healthy, like, God, you have to be the first in my life. Like, you are, like, everything comes second to you, and I will fight for this. I'll fight for this connection. And it's really changed the way I've walked with the Lord. And it's really, I've seen amazing things come from relationship with him and his life coming into me. And, yeah, man. And I hope that, I want everyone to have that, you know, because it changed me. Like, I wasn't a Christian. I honestly think if I had died, I don't know if I would have gone to heaven. Like, I'm serious. And that's, so... Yeah, think about it. Think about it, guys. Like, I search myself and I go, Lord, how are we doing? How are we right now? How are we doing? So be open to what is going to be said today.
Very good. Nice. Yeah? Sure. It's a sobering truth that God has no grandchildren. And as a parent, you're aware that your children growing up around the awareness of God, the things of God, the people of God, it's a great risk for them because they can become calloused. They can become dulled by the reality of growing up actually in the church. And so it's a great privilege to grow up in the church. And yet it can dull you to the reality of God. And thank goodness that the Lord broke through into our lives. We always say that our kids have turned out much better than our parenting. And that the Lord's got his hand on them. And so it drives us more to pray than to try and do it right. Obviously, there's a great responsibility in being a parent. But to actually firstly put our lives underneath him is our first call. And then we go, oh God, help. Would you break into our children's lives? And so, yeah, it's been a beautiful thing to be entrusted with children and to see God work in their lives. All right, the book of Colossians. Are you okay? Can I stay there? So just a quick reminder, it's the Word of God. And Paul is writing from prison. He's never met the church in Colossae. And he's heard what's happening there. And last week we spoke about the three concerns he had, or threats to the church. Philosophy, the erroneous use of the law, and then those who were motivated by sacrifice and by a lust for spiritual encounters, which actually moved them and swerved them away from the head. And they saw themselves as an elite group of people. And those three groups were threats to the church. So this morning I want to look at, even as he writes to them, and this is not part of my notes, but I just want to catch what's happening among us and maybe bring it out in the scriptures. But he's writing to them, and if you want to look at from verse 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." So he's been interceding for them. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints." Sorry, Chaz, I know that I'm messing with you. I haven't given you these notes or these. I'm in chapter 1, verse 3. But it's interesting. He could have said many things, but he says, "I've heard about your faith and your love for the saints." What's he doing? He's letting them know what he thinks is important. And so he's highlighting these things must be measured. If you want to know what God thinks is important, your faith and your love for the saints. He could have said many things. "I've heard about your meetings. Epaphras tells me that there's even been miracles among you, and many are being saved, and the evangelists are on the streets, and you're bold, and you've opened up your homes, that's good, and you've done this and done that, and you're having conferences, and much is happening." But he says, your faith in Jesus, love for the saints. So what is he doing? He's letting them see through the lens of his own mind. And actually, he's praying what God's praying for them. So what you'll see is Hebrews says that he intercedes on our behalf. And good prayers are prayers that line up with his praying. And so he's praying for the church. And we see there, and I'm going to read this prayer, but I'm praying it for us, okay? So go to verse 9. And it says, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled or may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So it's almost seems like it takes God to live a life worthy of God. It's like he's praying that God would fill them with something that comes from him so that. It's like it takes God to love God. It takes God to live a life worthy of the Lord. And I like this part. Fully pleasing to him. Can God be fully pleased? Yes. Imagine the absolute ecstasy of knowing you're pleasing God. Pleasing God. bearing fruit in every good work, and then an ongoing, ever-increasing, not just knowledge, Bible knowledge. Yes, the Bible knowledge, but a revelation of who God is by God. Like, that's how you get fascinated by God. Let God reveal God to him. You know, I love just hearing your testimony, because it wasn't just you sharing a story. It was like a story of God shone his light on you, and out of that light, you spoke to us. You know what we saw? We saw you and we saw God simultaneously. That is beautiful. Unrehearsed. We could have actually have made an altar call. Those who want to get saved, come to the front and go home after that. It's beautiful. But thank you. Carrying on, being strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I'd love to teach on that, but we're not. I just love that part of the word. Now, this is what I want to focus on. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's almost like a verse out of place. Like, you think of the prayer. Like, I don't know who put the Bible together, but if I was them, I would have had, you know, up to verse 12, and then really in big print, verse 13. But like, verse 13 just gets pasted in there. It's like he's making a massive statement. It's almost like he's drawing a line in the sand. You know, for me, he's saying, listen to me now. This is about God's work and not yours. And this is about man's need to be saved. Like, I'm saying something to you now. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's like he's just making a massive statement. I like the word deliver. It means to snatch and rescue from danger. Like a military extraction behind enemy lines. I'm not going to tell you what movies I enjoy. I might offend some of you, but I love war stories. And in some ways, this is a snatching of someone's life. We've got a Marine here. Behind enemy lines. It says he transferred, past tense. Like, it's done. When you speak about transferred with an ED at the end, it's not a gradual migration. It's a decisive event, an act, from one location to another. He transferred us into a person. Into a person. Salvation is not just what you've come out of. It's who you transferred into. And Romans 11, verse 24, speaks about being grafted into Christ. He hasn't got that scripture. Trust me, it's there. Grafted in. It speaks about a wild olive branch, someone who's living in rebellion against God, who gets cut off, gets taken off that tree and grafted into a cultivated olive tree. Grafted in. It's an actual event. And clinically, that branch is dead when it gets cut. But it gets placed into the tree. Let me explain this. Jesus often used vineyards and nature and farming and different things to explain spiritual truths. I've heard that you've got vines, yeah, like we have in South Africa, grapevines, farms that produce wine and grapes. Now, I don't know if you know this. Viticulture teaches us this. The Bible speaks not about viticulture, but vine dressers. They were skilled people who knew how to look after a vine. And part of their work was to take a young stem from a certain vine and graft it into another vine. And what they would do is they would actually cut a cross, sign of a cross, in the branch. that peel the skin back and wait for the xylem to bleed. Then they would take that young branch that's been cut and carefully place it in and line it up and then string it in, bind it with string so that it remains there and carefully nurture that until it takes. It's called the grafting in. And I think the father, it's a good picture, the father cut the son until he bled out, peeled his skin back. And then he took us and he placed us in him and wrapped us in his son and then bound us with love and by spirit. And so that's a picture of God placed us into the Son. So Christianity begins with, not with what you do for God. Christianity begins, Mikey, with what God's done for you. And I'm not talking about American gospel now. It's just the humility of the truth. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. But it does begin with Him. And does begin with His work and who He is. It's amazing how Paul starts with this. Incredible. And if you look at the rest of Colossians, just to give it a little bit more teeth, Colossians 1 verse 28, it says, Him we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ, in Christ, in Him. Colossians 2, 5, firmness of faith in Christ. Colossians 2, 6, just as you received Christ, so walk in Him. In Him. Rooted and built up in Him. In Him dwells the fullness, and you are complete in Him, says verse 9 and 10 in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, in Him you were buried, and in Him you were raised. Verse 15, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and triumphed over them in Him, in Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's like the whole of the New Testament, 200 times, speaks about being in Christ. In Christ. You are saved into a person. And so your walk with the Lord starts off with His work, not your work. Just to give you an analogy, I flew in from Cape Town. I've never been into America before, nor I've been in Canada, but not this part of the world. Landing in LA, I noticed the size and the height of these escalators, these moving stairs. And you just have, everything's just moving, you know, like up, people going up, people coming down. Now, can you imagine if you didn't have a good understanding of how Christianity starts, and that actually you've been put into Christ by the work of God, and that everything you do from this moment on is actually leveraged by the life of another. So if I'm placed into Christ, by the work of God, and now I'm turning from sin, I'm actually by the power of Christ, by with Him, I'm learning how to put off sin and turn to God. It's like my serving in the church is not just me alone. I'm in Him. And by Him, I'm able to serve. It's different. It's from something that's supernatural. And it's from a life that's inside of me. Now, if I don't understand this, okay, it's like going to the airport. I'm trying to climb up the stairs that are coming down. It's like you can make some movement. You're climbing up those stairs. But it's like you're going, is this it? It's like my daughter was going, like, I believe in God. I love God. But this doesn't work too well. I'm not sure if this is real. It's very different when you realize I'm in Christ by the work of God. Salvation is God's work. I've been transferred from darkness into light, and now I'm standing on the right escalator. And if I do something, there's power in it. That's Christianity. One of our greatest concerns for the church in the West is that you can be so close to the truth, but you just don't know the truth. And there can be an endless learning, but never growing. And there's something about this that's so important. How does it affect me? How does this reality affect my everyday? Well, I start off my day not looking at what should I do. I look and see and say, God, it's about you. And it's about what you are doing and have done. And I learned to live my life, as C.S. Lewis says, fixing my eyes on what's unseen. I learned to live with, I want that reality of Christ to be my anchor. I learned to live looking up, not looking at myself or looking at what I must do. And then from realizing what is done, I say, Lord, how would you want me to respond to you even this morning? So I learned to live from the awareness of another. I learned to live from Christ. It's all the difference. And then the word says that we are to know this, but we are to continue in Christ. We are to remain in him. Can I just share some scriptures with you? I'm not going to go much longer. Can I share Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7? 6 and 7 says, therefore, as you receive Christ, so walk in him. So it's not just your salvation. It's actually being in Christ and then to remain in Christ, to walk in him. If you look at the NIV and the NLT, it says to continue. Jesus, the word continue. This is normal Christianity. You continue in Christ. Look at chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, verse 23. It actually uses the word there, continue. This is the ESV version. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. So God does want you to have security. He does want you to have security, but security in a person. Not an event of 10 years back. Not in a doctrine. Not in anything but a person. So I want you to be stable, I want you to be secure, but I want you to be in him, and I want you to look to him. You continue in Christ. Let me reason with you a little bit. I think we do come out of a culture where salvation's almost seen as a commodity. Like I receive salvation, and I hold on to it. Like it's, yeah. Okay? And then when you talk to that person, they always refer to the event or the prayer they prayed. They sometimes, not always, but they don't have this. Oh. It's like you don't get this feel they're looking to him. And that type of person can look like a Christian all their lives. So I don't want to shake you unnecessarily. What I'm saying is there's a witness in the heart. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. He's my salvation. I continue in him. Got a question for you. Are you in him? Really? Are you in him? When you came to him, what are the fruits? Did you confess your sin? Was there real repentance? Was it the real of who you are speaking to the real of who God is? C.S. Lewis. Was it true? Was there exchange? Did you receive the forgiveness of sins? Were you aware that you went from darkness to light? That's salvation. That's what it is. Some of the young men, can I challenge you? We were talking about a man that was crucified publicly, naked, for you. Bled out. Some of you have never made a public stand for Christ. Does anybody know that you love God with all your heart outside of this context? Do they know that you're a Christian? Because the one that we're talking about bled out naked in public. That's part of you. If you're in Christ, that's your reality. Like, I think there are people here, you might be saved. So I'm not saying you're not saved. But you've never made a public stand for Christ. You never actually stood up publicly and said, I am on his side. It's very easy, when it's everything's like, I'm a believer. My dad prayed with me once. But have you made a public stand for Christ? I might give you an opportunity. I might. A little bit later on. I mean, I've done a little bit out the box. You might go, I'm normal or way out the box. But I love doing altar calls where every eye is open. Everyone's looking around. and if you've never made a public stand for Christ, stand. Like, I don't mind doing that. I think with you guys, I'm not sure if that's your culture. It's like you don't like that. But sometimes a man needs to stand and say, I'm putting my stake in the ground. Yes, I'm crossing that line. I'm saying yes to God. I'm going to make a public confession of Christ. And you know what it does? It shifts you from being more aware of God than aware of what people say about you. But I'm not going to carry on teaching or preaching this morning. I think what the Holy Spirit wants to do today is he wants to strengthen us in the understanding that it's his salvation, it's his work, that we bow to this work, we accept this work. We go, yes, God. Some of us are going, God, I know I'm yours, but I need some of the rubble removed so that I'm standing on the firm, firm foundation of Christ. Lord, when I came to you, I never really confessed my sin. I'm actually going to strengthen that part of my foundation in you. I'm actually going to be turning from some sin. Just in my response to your salvation being strengthened in me. So this is not for those necessarily that have never given their lives to Christ. This message is a strengthening of those who belong to Christ as well. But some, here I go, have never actually publicly confessed Christ. Today's your day. You can mark it in your calendar, the 8th of March. So Lord, I really don't want to play the game this morning. What does it look like for us to respond to you? And even respond to you beyond what I'm thinking. Lord, I want to invite your actual presence. And Lord, I ask that light would come this morning. And that we would have no shame. And that we would, Lord, be strengthened. Lord, I ask for the right elevator this morning. By my Spirit. And Lord, I want to ask for that strengthening of knowing, that strengthening. In you, I have the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, it speaks about joy. In the prayer, Lord, I want to be filled with the joy that comes from your salvation. Lord, beyond, it's not pleasure I'm after, but the joy of knowing I belong to you, the joy of darkness to light, the joy of transfer. And Lord, I want it to matter. I want it to count. First response. And you're just going to lift your hands. But those who know, I need to be strengthened in my understanding of resting and believing and trusting in his work of salvation. And I bow. Thank you for those hands. Just as you, and you can, we can close our eyes. I want to be Just that's good. Just where you are. Thank you, Lord. Keep our eyes closed. Then you can put your hands on this side here. I'm going to ask you. You can close your eyes. But really, do you think you really are going to get away with living a half-baked life? Do you think that lukewarm is actually going to be good for you? Can I reason with you? Some of you think, well, you know, I'm a student now. I want to enjoy my life. I might go and do this and do that. And you actually think that you're in control of your life and that you can have a measure of devotion to God that God accepts. And that one day I will get to that place where I'm going to be like Grant speaks about. Can I tell you what's going to happen to you? You're going to do more and more sin. Your mind will get changed. Your heart will get changed. And actually you'll be in a very different position towards God in a couple of years' time. And you think, I'm fully in control. And yeah, I'm good with God, but you're not. I want no one looking around. Who of those people actually need to respond to the Lord this morning? You can put up your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Of this group, who's never made a public commitment to Christ? And you're actually saying, Lord, today I actually need to make something public. Yes, I think I'm saved. I've never publicly stood for you. It's never cost me to look at the man who's naked on the cross, bleeding out for me, and to say, yes, Lord, I'm on your side. I want you to respond and put up your hand. Be bold. I see that hand as well. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Sure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You responded well. Very good. So this is not necessary salvation, okay? But I do feel like I'm going to make this call and I'm just going to ask where our eyes are going to be. So this is not people who are responding for salvation, but you're just making a public stand for what I've been speaking about. And you might be being strengthened in this, you're just acknowledging it. But those who know, God's putting his hand on me and I just want to stand before him and I want to stand before people. And they're going to see me. Why don't you stand? Be bold. Go for it. Anyone else wants to stand? Anyone can stand. If you want to be strengthened, if you want to be strengthened in this, or you just feel, I need to make a public stand before the one who died for me. I just want us to encourage that man. Let's give him a hand for standing. Do you mind if I pray for you? Let's just lift our hands to him. Lord, I don't know who he is. You seem to know. But Lord, I just want to thank you for this particular season of his life. And Lord, you see, the scripture says that he who is not ashamed of me before men, I'll not be ashamed of him before my Father. And Lord, whatever you're doing in his life, we release the Spirit of God over him. Thank you, Lord. Actually, Jonah, I'm going to ask you to just go and lay hands on him. Just. And Mikey, you know what? Bless your heart. Eh? You're the real deal. And I know that God's removing rubble from your life at the moment. But you're the real deal. And I see the Lord praying for your faith. Even as he prayed for Peter's faith. And Lord, I want to ask for a strengthening of his faith in you and Sunshine's faith in you, Lord. That the strengthening of who God is in them. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for his life, for their life as a family, and we bless them. I just sense the Holy Spirit saying to me, there's many more of you, actually. You know, you're ashamed of the gospel. You've never made a public stand for him. God's calling you to stand and actually cross the line before your brothers and sisters. Some of you need to possibly this morning go, okay, I was like Maddie, I've been in church my whole life. Today I'm going, God, that reality I want. Who's like that? Who knows, like in your heart? She shared for you, I'm preaching to you, and you're going like, should I stand or not? I'm right there. Is there someone like that this morning? We actually just want to acknowledge you. Thank you, Brian, for whatever you are standing for. Bless you. Bless you for standing. Can we have this, Maddie, will you stand with her? Will you stand with the girl there? But there's more. Thank you for breaking the ice. Thank you, Lord. And Father, just even as we as Maddie prays for her, the Spirit of the Lord work in her. But I want to take, I don't want to give her, that's a bold move for her. That was courage. So I don't want to focus on her right now. Does anyone else need to stand this morning and say yes to you? We celebrate what God's doing. I'm going to land now, all right? And we can carry on praying. Some of you might want to be prayed and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But wasn't today like, it was like proper church, eh? It was great. It was really good. Just being, like honestly, like if, just even the way we started, I'm not talking about the malfunction, but even the way we handled that, it was just good. Like we handled the malfunction, just the vibe between Robin and Jono, and our togetherness, and the prophetic word that Jake brought. Amen. Beautiful.
For a finance teach, we were going to have Josh Murad speak, but we actually have an awesome testimony from Brian Grissom. So Brian, can you come up and share? And guys, you can pass the baskets around. If this is your church, this is a way to give. You can also give online. We don't have the code up there, but if not, feel free just to pass that basket.
Come on.
I need a chair. So... I hate this part. Okay. We got paid on a job.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, I always felt like we didn't tithe enough because the way my business works is I don't get paid when I'm done. It takes quite a long time sometimes. So we're constantly behind the ball and trying to play catch up. But we got a check in and it was a decent one. And it allowed us to catch up a little bit. So I was talking with my wife. I thought, I really feel like we should tithe, you know, something that is more than we normally do. So I thought, it's been on my mind for the last couple of days. I think it was Friday. I was reading through Timothy, and you know, the wind was really bad, and I woke up and the door was open, and so I closed it. And I locked it, so it wouldn't open up again. It's not the best door. And so I started reading, and I woke up, and I'm thinking, you know what? That's kind of a lot. I'm thinking of the bills that are coming. All engines with check lights on in our cars. and so on and so forth. The money that's going to be going now. And it seemed like it was already greater than what we had. So I thought, maybe we'll do this much. And then I thought, that's still uncomfortable. And I thought, well, maybe we'll do this much. And so in the morning, I was reading after closing the door. And this is where I picked up. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And as soon as I got done with, for the love of money is the root of all evil, not one but both doors swung open. And it was like getting slapped in the face. And so I was really convicted. And last night I told my beautiful wife about it. And it was met with what I expected. But we got this and that. And I said, I know. And then I read this to her. And she said the most beautiful thing to me. She said, you're the leader of this family. And whatever you feel convicted for, that's what we'll do. And so we prayed. And so we prayed. And we asked the Lord for guidance. And to be honest, I didn't really hear anything since then. But I'll tell you, from a worldly view, we are not thriving. From a godly view, we are very much thriving. So, and I also wanted to say, it's not about tithing. It's about listening to when God's talking to you and obeying what he's asking of you. So,
everyone can start to stand up, but before we go, Jake's got a word from the Lord for us, and then we'll go straight into worship.
Yeah, just real quick, I felt like the Lord gave me this, and if you've got questions, I'm not going to elaborate, so if you've got questions, just bring them to Josh or Grant or one of the leaders here, but as I was praying for you all as a church, I felt like the Lord said, what's up, dude? The Lord did not say, what's up, dude? I felt like the Lord said, I see you and I am building. You don't know where you're going, but I know the end from the beginning. Lean into me and into one another and wait as the farmer waits, pulling weeds, fertilizing, fending off the pests. Make the land ready because the rain is coming.
A word's come through that goes well with this song and what we've learned this morning.
Yeah, I just think it's so cool, like, we're singing about like we're made, like we're born to bring glory to the Lord. And in school, we're reading the writings of he's a Roman emperor. And so he writes a lot about like the insignificance of like, and the how vain it is to chase after like human glory. As someone that had a lot of renown and a lot of fame, he's just writing about how like life is so brief and momentary and fleeting, and it just amounts to absolutely nothing. But like thinking about that and about someone like that, like, yeah, he's actually, if you look at it in context of like history, he would have been so much greater than most people, and people know about him even today. But like thinking about the Lord and his name and how much glory he has in comparison to anything like one human being could ever achieve. And I really felt like Jesus is saying, like, so many of us chase after that kind of glory, like human glory, and it's a very difficult road. Like it's tiring and it's hard, but he's like, no, like actually there's a much easier way to just what we're made to do, like bring glory to him. And yeah, ultimately, like, yeah, it's just incredible to think about and like actually meditate on like the glory of the Lord and the fact that we are able to worship him and the fact that he knows us. Yeah, that's just the picture that I was.
Right. And I'm just thinking, even with Brian's testimony about really bringing glory to God. So can we sing that one more time?